Welcome back to another episode of the Catholic Buzz. We're so happy that you're joining us today. Whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts, this is episode 18 of the Catholic Buzz. And so thank you for continuing to send in your questions, your emails, your comments, all those things that help make this podcast such a really blessing, not only for us, but also lots of conversation, lots of feedback coming from people about how it's been helping them to really understand their Catholic faith. And to help you understand, well, maybe I should rephrase, like me, I'm Father Daniele, and then there's Josh Sullivan. We don't really help you understand your faith, but the one who really helps you understand your faith is over here, Matt Van Milligan. He's the one that really does all the work. Is that
Doctor
right?
Of knowledge, I
the
think.
The doctor of knowledge. Yeah, exactly. I had to stop myself there. I couldn't lie and say we are helping people.
Of course not.
No,
of course not.
We're just kind of here for...
We're the filler.
We're the filler. Yeah, that's right. We're the filler. How are you guys doing? It's so good to see you guys.
Before we started here, I was actually just sitting in my car, you know, Wikipedia-ing our topic. So I have something to say.
Is there a big word I can use that has to do with this?
Yeah.
I've tried that. It doesn't work.
Yes. What is that on your hand there? I see some words. Yeah. Their big word, they go all the way down his arm.
His shirt gets rolled
he's
up.
He's running out of room on his arm. Yeah.
I get sweaty and it starts to smudge. I panic. Yeah.
So we're already halfway in the middle of August, and this month has flown by, you know, and it's been a lot of fun. Excuse me. So it's been a lot of fun even this summer to be able to have these conversations with you guys.
Yeah.
This past weekend,
you were out of town.
I was at two ordinations this
weekend.
Wow. Yeah.
That's
one was a deacon, our seminarian for the Diocese of Sault Ste. Marie was ordained a deacon, and a very nice celebration on Friday. Bishop Marcel Dollfuss was back in our diocese to ordain him. And then on the weekend, of course, I was away, and one of my friends from the seminary, Paul Edmonston, was ordained a priest for
That's
the diocese.
Exciting.
Yeah, for the Diocese of Hamilton. And it was just a real blessing. I was able to preach at his first Mass, which is a real honor.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
That's a, so when you do, so I had this conversation with you earlier, but so for everybody, because you think that your first Mass you'd want to preach at, right? When you're ordained, one of the things I think that people think, oh, you get to preach now.
Yeah.
So, but that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, and I remember now, that's funny that you mentioned it. I remember, like, at my first Mass, someone had said to me, like, oh, we were expecting you to preach. And I didn't. I had a really good friend of mine, Father Dennis Greco, who was, I met him in the seminary. He was a great mentor to me. Really, like, helped me in my seminary studies to really come alive and understand my faith and just have it blossom. So he preached my first Mass, and he's excellent. I mean, he's just a great preacher. But yeah, someone did say we were waiting for you to preach. But the reason, there's no rule around it.
No,
I mean,
you could do it.
The
if you
newly
wanted,
ordained priest can preach at his first Mass. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more of a unwritten tradition that you pick someone close to you that's helped you in your journey. So they can preach at your first Mass because this is your first Mass. The first time you're consecrating the Eucharist, you're going through, you know, everything you've studied is now culminated to this. So there's a lot on your mind, a lot on your heart, you know, and so
the preaching doesn't have to be part of
the
it.
The preaching is just one thing that you don't have to worry about.
Yeah, I see.
I know some guys I was in the seminary with, no problem. They preached their first Mass and they didn't, you know, but yeah, it's more like an unwritten tradition where you ask someone who's kind of helped you. So it was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice. You know, obviously, an ordination is a really big celebration for the church, and we're really grateful to people who have said yes to God. With this COVID restrictions, it was a bit different. Eh?
Yeah.
Like,
how would they do the laying on? So I know that part of the tradition in an ordination is to put a hand, all the priests come by, the bishop first, and then all the priests come by and lay hands on the new priest. And that's part of keeping the apostolic hands-on tradition, right? The hands-on, literally, being passed on, hands-on, all the way through since St. Peter.
Yeah.
And so how would that work, or how does that work?
Yeah, so the bishop is the one to lay hands on the...
So that's the big one.
So that's what matters,
right?
And unfortunately, and during this COVID time, the other priests were not
allowed
to come and lay hands on the ordinance. Which was really unfortunate for me because this would have been my first ordination as a priest.
Yeah.
I've never been able to lay hands on someone as a priest when they were being ordained a priest. And so, to have my buddy there. I was looking forward to that.
Sneak up after and slowly give him a tap on the shoulder.
Yes, exactly. I think you're going to get pictures of his ordination. The bishop laid hand, my hands just
behind
coming
him
into the frame there, just to get a piece of the action, I guess. Yeah. No, it was really beautiful. And even with the restrictions, you know, that there was, they did a very nice job. It was a beautiful celebration, so I was happy to be there with them. Yeah, so I hope you didn't miss me too much this weekend.
Never.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, anything exciting? We talked a lot about me, but we'll.
No, it's getting closer and closer to that time where school's opening back up.
Yeah.
Routine starts happening again. I guess would be the good way of saying it. For me, I go back to work teaching very shortly. And so, but routine, and that's kind of key. We're in a new house now, so it's going to be interesting to see what the new routine is in the new house with acreage and farm chores and all that extra stuff that gets to come along with it. I'm excited to see how everyday life is affected.
Very true. I was helping Josh sweep out his basement, his new basement. I still have dust in my lungs. But I'm coughing.
It's an old farmhouse, and there are years of dust in there.
Yes, I know. I was coughing for a while after that, sweeping that up. People thought, I mean, coughing in public today,
COVID,
not very nice, right?
COVID alarms go off.
But how do you explain to people? It's Josh's dust.
They got lots of questions.
They got a lot of questions. They start questioning what is going on. Yeah. Which is another great segue into what we're talking about today. And you get the point there.
Yeah, thanks.
That's two
good.
In a row.
Yeah.
We're talking about questions because I think this is really, and here's why we're talking about it today. A couple episodes ago, we had an episode on evolution, Big Bang Theory, creation. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was a really fun episode.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a really good conversation. And feedback from that has been some Catholics saying, like, I didn't know that Catholics were allowed to believe in the evolution or the Big Bang theory, and they had some reservations about that, but just never addressed it. Mm-hmm. It was like, I'm a Catholic, I believe in my faith, and this is an area where I'm just not going to touch because I'm confused about it. Mm-hmm. And that led, so people were giving me this feedback, so thank you very much for that episode because it really helped me in my journey. And then the conversation turned into questions.
Yeah.
You know? And there are people out there who think that they cannot question their faith. Mm-hmm. That they cannot ask questions about their faith. And so that's why we're talking about today, because it's so, for me, it's so vital. That's how I grew in my faith. I asked tons of questions and I wrestled with things and I, you know, so that's a really important part of my faith journey.
Yeah.
Maybe yours as well. I mean, Matt, your experience of coming into the church, I'm sure you had questions.
Yeah. And I would say that it was more of questioning my previous faith that led me to Catholicism. So I would be the first one to say that questioning your faith or questioning the ideas that you've been handed isn't actually a bad thing. And we'll get into it, but with a few kind of provisions on, you know, questioning as though there were actual answers to your questions.
Yeah.
Questioning honestly, because questioning just to kind of put truth to the side or put truth away
just
reduces to skepticism pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And that's not very. But constructive questioning, if you're intellectually honest, should lead you to truth.
Yeah, and there's a few different things. I think that's true. Questioning to lead you to truth is the thing. Some people do just question things. Sort of rhetorically, just to throw it off to the side, or rebelliously, exactly.
Or play devil's advocate just to be provocative.
Provocative
is my word.
Yeah.
I saw you glance down.
Yeah.
Then there's doubt, right? So questioning, there's doubt. People have doubts about their faith. That's a totally different thing, but also maybe we'll address that a little bit as well. But you mentioned something that I want to ask you about, because you did come from a different faith background. You had questions about that faith. So can you run us through sort of what that process was or journey was for you?
Well, even jumping further back and even kind of reference last week, we talked about kind of early childhood formation and, you know, what effect that has on people. When I was up to the age of 4 or 5, I think, I went to a Protestant, a Calvinist church with my family, my grandparents, like the kind of family unit. And then that fell off, or that stopped happening. And it wasn't until I was probably 18 or 19 that I was able to start working at a Christian summer camp that my grandparents were associated with, that I was able to kind of reacquaint with Christianity. But in the meantime, I had read all kinds of things. I'd read a bunch of philosophical work. I really enjoyed ideas, and but I had read a lot of things that I had disagreed with just on kind of an intuitive basis. Like I read a bunch of Nietzsche as a teenager, yeah. And I was just like, if this is the way the world is, it's not really something I want to be
a part of
that involved with. Yeah. So already questioning a lot of the things that I was given, or that this is wisdom. This is the wisdom of the age. This is being reintroduced or reacquainted with Christianity. I was like, okay, this is a context for all of the questions I'm asking about justice and evil and good, and like higher kind of level questions that everybody kind of faces, or like as you're growing up, as you mature. But the environment for that was kind of a Calvinist Christian view. So then I became pretty well acquainted with that, very involved with Calvinist ministries, and ended up working at the same kind of summer camp I went to as a child. But then getting to a point where I was beginning to question some of the theological axioms of Calvinism itself, mm-hmm. And running into some paradoxes and problems that ultimately kind of Catholicism was able to address. So yeah, again, from my perspective, that question, or that impulse to question, wasn't a bad thing, and I think ultimately led me to.
Yeah, and Josh, I think that was something you said on last week's episode when we were talking, like, the church is 2,000 years old.
Yeah.
There are answers to questions. We, you know, there are answers, so let's look for them, let's search for them. And then you, like, who had doubts about all these different things in your faith experience, were able to ask those questions, find those answers, and lead you to be fulfilled in your faith, right?
I think there's a saying out there that converts make the best Catholics,
right?
And that, but I think that's true into a point. Not that converts necessarily might make the best Catholics, but converts know they searched for truth, they sought truth, they found truth, and that's why they make the best Catholics.
Yeah,
because they looked for answers and they found the answers, and they found the answers essentially in the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
Whereas in people like myself, I was raised Catholic. And so I was a cradle Catholic, and it wasn't until I had a similar experience, but when I was 18, and it wasn't, or 16, 17, 18, I should say, and it was actually with my wife. My wife was the one that was not Catholic, but she was Christian, and she had a deeper faith, I would say, than I did. I had more religion knowledge, but she had a deeper faith. And so, like, she started talking to me about, oh, well, you know, like, I kind of like this girl. And she's like, well, you pray every day? You do your devotions? I was like, yeah, of course I do my devotions, of course. And then I go home and be like, Mom, what's devotions mean? You know, and then they're talking, so, oh, that means praying every day. Oh, okay. But then, so then she started questioning the Catholic faith. Well, you're going to hell. What? And so, but started asking those questions. And it was through her asking me questions and then me going and finding the answers and bringing them back to her that I was able to actually kind of, I learned and grew in my faith. But as a Catholic, I didn't get that stuff from the get-go. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, I think about also the experience too about, like people who, let's say, grew up in a Catholic school system, or who grew up in maybe like the older sort of style Catholic,
yeah.
You know, you have stories of people saying that they've asked these questions, you know,
as
students, and what do they get told? They get told stuff like, because that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Why is God this way? Or why do we believe this? Because that's what we do. Don't ask any questions. So you have a whole generation of people still participating in the life of our church today who feel like that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't ask a question because that's the way it is. Well, that's not the way it is.
No, you're questioning the authority of the church, therefore you should not. Right?
Yeah,
like, that's the idea.
And I'm not discrediting their experience. That's what they experienced, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
there were priests and nuns and people who
yeah.
who said, don't question. You know, that was wrong.
I...
I can say that even in my experience, and I didn't grow up necessarily going to school in the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Right.
Well, maybe 80s, 80s 90s. Yeah.
but who are you trying to kid,
exactly,
Josh?
Yeah. But I actually did have that. Like, I did have that experience where if you asked a question, now being an adult and having been a teacher, realizing that a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times that answer comes from two reasons. One, you're disrupting the class, so we're going to move on. Like, you've asked enough questions for now, so stop asking. But normally the second one is a lot of times I don't have an answer and I don't know how to explain it to you. So just trust me, that's the way it is. So we're going to move on because I can't explain it to you in a way that you're going to understand because I don't know if I fully understand it.
Right.
And so when you're, if you've asked questions before and you got those answers, then you asked the wrong person. That's all it's going to say. Or maybe it wasn't the right time to ask that question to that person. You know what I mean? So, but that shouldn't mean that you stop asking. You have 2,000 years of history and experience and tradition in the church. There isn't a question out there I don't think that the church can't answer or have some saint somewhere wrote something about it. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many books and so much knowledge out there. The church fathers, even going right back to the early days of Catholicism, 200 or 300 years after Christ died, there's so much rich wisdom and knowledge there that gives very plain, very real answers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the tradition of the church, the intellectual tradition of the church, is robust and diverse enough that it can handle kind of the best questions we can throw at it. Or it's not so fragile that you know, certain questions are off the table
because
we just don't know what to do with that. That you start reading guys like Augustine and Aquinas and any of the like the Renaissance writer, and like these people have these vast intellects and cover a range of topics, and there are a number of discussions that are happening throughout the history of the church that there's kind of nothing new under the sun. There's and we can ask these questions from a new perspective, and a lot of people who don't grow up with kind of a well-formed faith, they're just like, if their questioning or their approaches to questioning is informed by something postmodern philosophy or something like that. Yeah. It's like, it's not as though you just can't ask these questions because, you know, like this is just the way it is because I said so. There is a vast body of
knowledge and
published
answers
by the church over this time that can engage seriously with those questions.
Yeah, and it's such a natural process to ask questions that I feel bad for people who have that ingrained in them not to ask a question. Yeah. Because, like, think of your kids. I mean, they're always asking you questions. Yeah. That's how they're learning. That's how they're growing. That's how you're teaching them. They're saying, Dad, why is it like this?
Yeah. Or, like,
and you're teaching, and they're learning about life. Well, the same thing in our faith. We have to ask questions. Why is it like this? Why do we believe this? And when someone shuts you down, you know, and like that, that's unfortunate that people had that experience. But I'm telling you, ask questions, because that's how you grow in your faith. I had my experience of faith was me asking questions. I could be stubborn sometimes, and I could really wrestle with things, you know. No comments on that stubborn part, man. Yeah. But, you know, like, that's how I really grew into my faith. You have to delve into this stuff and read, like you said, there's so much rich teaching of the faith there that is just sitting there waiting for us to read and to experience.
I think it's important to realize too, so the Israelites were God's chosen people, right? Mm-hmm. And they were the ones throughout history and all the Old Testament, those were the people, or God's chosen, were the Israelites. The Israelites come from they're named after Israel, which if we're going back in the Bible stuff here, I'm getting into a little bit, I'm taking a different seat, put a different hat on here. It comes from Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God and then was named Israel. The Israelites were then the people that wrestled with God. And so wrestling with your faith, not wrestling with God necessarily physically, but wrestling with your faith with God and wrestling with the question. So, like, right there, God's chosen people were those that wrestled with God. Those that struggled sometimes with their faith, but then asked questions and got answers. And, like, faith journey, if your faith journey is this... I don't want to say you're doing something wrong, because I'm sure there's saints out there that was their journey and they just had a faith like God
coasted through.
They not coasted so much, but just had a faith, like an amazing faith all the way through. I'm sure there's saints out there that did that. But if your faith journey doesn't bring you through struggles of faith or questions or that kind of stuff, or when it does and you just put them to side, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, and just like we grow, you know, like our questions surrounding faith should change, right?
Yeah.
Like the questions I ask today as an adult are different from what I asked as an adolescent or as a young adult or as a teenager, right? Yeah. So we have to always keep asking questions because we're in different life situations that bring new realities into our life. So what does the church say about these things? How can the church help me during this struggle, which are different from 20 years ago or 10 years ago? So, and then right now, 20 years from now,
it's going to be different.
Yeah.
I mean, we're dealing, I mean, we talk a lot about on different parts of the podcast, different issues that are coming up today's world that we wouldn't have dreamed about talking about 20 years ago. Like, you know what I mean? And so the things that we're struggling with nowadays really help us dive in to what the church teaches, let's say on homosexuality or on drugs and partaking in drugs and or like all these different things, or the Big Bang Theory for that matter. I mean, just what if the rule of thumb is don't question the church is the moral authority and they know, so you just have to listen. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong approach. And that might be the approach that some people in places of authority have given. But again, I would say that probably comes from maybe a place of fear, but also just it wasn't the right time, wasn't the right person. You know what I mean?
Right.
Ask the right person. I mean, I do youth ministry, and you get questions right, left, and center all the time. And if I was to tell a teenager, no, that's the wrong question, you shouldn't be asking questions, mm-hmm. I don't think I'd have anybody at the youth group.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they're yeah, very inquisitive. Exactly. They're looking for the people that they can trust. And if you don't have any, I mean, that's the other thing. People looking at, they can smell bull from a mile away. So they, like, when you're giving an answer, if you don't have an answer, say no. I don't have an answer for that. That's a great question. I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
That way it's not, you shouldn't ask. It's okay, actually, I don't have an answer for that. Let's find out the answer.
So on that topic, like, who do people ask? So,
yeah.
You know, you have questions about your faith. You have all these thoughts going through your mind. You're struggling with something internally. You don't have Matt's phone number on speed dial. Who do you call? Like, who do you ask these questions to? Because what's happening now, remember this question if I go on a tangent. What's happening now is, like, you mentioned young people. We're asking maybe parents who don't know.
Yeah.
We're asking teachers who don't know. They don't have a large faith circle of friends. Maybe even adults. You know, maybe their families are not practicing. Who do you go and ask? Because oftentimes I hear people say, like, well, my sister-in-law told me about this.
Yeah.
Or my uncle okay told me about this, yeah, exactly, that the church teaches. And it's like, what? No, that's not at all what our understanding is. So where should you be going when you have these questions?
Yeah, and if the question is like, where should you be bringing your questions? A lot of it comes down to your disposition as well, I think. Like, if you're inclined to do research yourself and actually go to sources, to encyclicals, to church documents, to the catechism, there is some value to doing that research on your own.
Yeah.
But I've found kind of much greater value in asking those questions in a community of faithful Catholics who are also asking those questions, not just... I probably have some, you know, self-interest and kind of know-it-alls you don't want to go to somebody who presumes to just know all the answers.
Exactly.
Hopefully I wouldn't kind of give off that.
Okay.
No.
But like that there's much more value in asking questions in a community than to going to, like, because you have, I would say, kind of opposite tendencies and neither of which are helpful. So you have the people who say, don't ask questions, just have faith.
Yeah.
And it's like treating these things as though they're antithetical. But then you also have that person who's just like, oh, I have all the answers.
Right.
Whereas I find, much more value in kind of asking those questions in community with reference to the actual teachings.
And that's kind of what you, like, this past, last year, there was this sort of young adult movement or program that Matt and his wife led here in the parish, you know, with other young adults. And that's what they kind of created, like a community of people just who had questions about, of young adults, who had questions about the faith. And every week was a topic, and every, and there was discussion and lively sort of sharing about it. And out of that came new Catholics, people who became Catholic through that. So you're right. Even if we don't have these targeted age group communities, the church should be the home of those conversations, you know, where we're asking those questions. You know, a priest should be someone where you feel comfortable going and asking those questions. You know, the people in
should
the,
be.
Should be, yeah. That's not always the case. People are afraid to go and ask their priest. Some priests are more open to having those questions being asked than others. And some, you know, some priests are just by their maybe disposition more welcoming, not intent, not that they're not in welcoming, but just by their disposition, maybe people feel like they're not welcoming. So yeah, there are all a bunch of barriers, but let's go past those.
Yeah.
Let's stop making things up in our head or feeling things in our heart. Let's just go and ask and say, if you can't help me, who do you suggest I can go see?
There is normally a right answer. There's not a, well, I think it's like, answer. There is a, this is what the church teaches. I think there's two things that I would suggest to people. I've done this with a lot of times teenagers that are questioning, a lot of time, and again, questioning the Catholic faith. They're not necessarily Catholic, but they're questioning the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
And I'm a lot of times in a two-way battle, or sometimes a three-way battle, with the kid who seems caught in the middle with another faith, a person of faith, but probably from a different faith. And so they're saying, well, this is why the Catholic Church is wrong, because this, this, this. And so they bring the question to me, and then I give them an answer, and then and they go back. What I always tell those teenagers, and so I would tell, and I would tell any adult, actually, in that way, first off, say a prayer. Ask God, say, God, I am searching for the truth. And say, I'm searching for the truth, so Holy Spirit, guide me. Guide me that I find the truth that I'm searching for. And if your prayer is earnest and your prayer is that's in your heart, and every time you go into this, this doesn't quite seem right, pray that prayer again and ask that the Holy Spirit guide you the truth. And I say that, and every time the teenager that I'm talking to or the person I'm talking to goes, that's a great prayer. I said, yeah, I know, because I know, being Catholic, that you're going to come back to my side anyways. You know, if you're searching for the truth, you're going to find answers here, because we have that 2,000 years. There hasn't been a question in the church that I haven't been able to answer through the church fathers or the catechism of the Catholic Church. Yes. I mean, I think that's got to be something we bring up right away, but you want an answer? The catechism normally has most answers that we have. And I think we're going to probably, sometime in the future, we should be talking about dogma, doctrine, and
discipline,
because those are things that the church teaches and what you're supposed to believe, what you have to believe, what you could believe, what you, like all those things.
Yeah.
But the catechism of the Catholic Church lays out the teachings of the Catholic Church. And a lot of times there's really good explanations. Sometimes those explanations, if you're not so, sometimes those explanations can be a little bit overwhelming, or
they need more explanation.
They need more explanation,
or they prompt further questions.
Exactly,
which is
so. That's where I think what you said, Matt, is perfect. Is if you go, like, if you need an answer, go to the catechism. Find the catechism. You can find them online for free. But get the answer. But then you've done a little bit of research, so that you kind of have an answer. But that doesn't mean that the catechism is necessarily going to answer your question. It might further on further questions. And so bring those to your community. But that community, again, make that prayer. Holy Spirit, guide me to the truth, because if then He can put the right people in your path. God can put the right people that can have those answers. Because I have had answers from people in authority or people places of authority in faith, even whether that be teacher, whether that be whoever, that have answered me wrong. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I've asked the questions, and they've so even to the point of, well, no, and that's like completely heretical to what the church teaches.
Right.
And so making sure that you're through that prayer of Holy Spirit guiding me to the truth, something didn't sit right with me. So then I was able to ask somebody else and I got the right answer. You know what I mean?
True. And I know, like, a lot of young people or parishioners or people just in general tell me, you know, that they've asked these questions to a priest or a sister or something like that, and the priest or the sister has given them a wrong answer just so that they wouldn't hurt their feelings or
things
like that. And that's not the right thing to do. Yeah. You know, like sometimes a teaching of our faith challenges us, you know, and it might not sound pleasant, but like you said, if we're on a path of discovery towards the truth, in the end, it might not sound nice right away, you know, but please do not lie to people.
No,
please
do not lie make to up people. Your own answer.
Please don't make up your own answer. I find teachers, priests do this a lot with young people because we want to fit in with young people. But like in my experience, they just want the truth.
Yeah.
And
they're going to smell the bull.
They love it. They love it. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, honestly, there's so much more
you can talk about there.
We could say on that topic, but definitely prayer. Look at your catechism. Lots of resources online. Talk to someone in your parish. You know, lots of things. But don't just sit and lost internal struggle with questions. Look at the scriptures. Yeah. Like people came to Jesus and asked him. Yeah. You know, speak plainly to us, or. you know, like all these scripture stories of Jesus having to just share. What about the Acts of the Apostles? St. Paul's writings are full of instructions to people like, hey, this is what you're doing. It's wrong. Yeah. Here's what you should be doing. Here's what the Lord expects from us. And people are like, oh, wow, we didn't really understand it like that. Like our faith history is just full of people asking questions because their main goal is to go towards the truth, which leads us to Jesus. Yeah. And I know we talked a lot about other episodes and all these things about the difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. But if questions lead us to the truth, it always leads us closer to Jesus.
I think our faith too, you have to understand that our faith is, it's got so many answers. Nothing in the Bible is going to contradict anything in the Catholic Church's faith.
Yeah, for sure.
And nothing in the Catechism is going to contradict anything in the Bible for that matter. And so like if there seems to be some kind of paradox that is not allowing this thought process to happen, you got to get the right answer. You got to figure it out. And there is answers out there. There are other places you can come to the podcast. Hopefully we've answered some of those questions before, but also we don't claim to necessarily quote the catechism on everything that we've talked about.
No.
Right. But there are places that do. And like, what are some good websites that you would recommend for people just to maybe check out if they had questions? Do you have any?
Yeah. Well, one of my favorites is CatholicAnswers.com.
Yeah, I was going to say CatholicAnswers.
CatholicAnswers.com. Honestly, any question is like on there.
Ascension
Presents.
They're a great resource. Father Mike Smits is a good one. Yeah. But anything
Bishop Ascension, Barron is another.
Yeah, Bishop Barron.
Word on Fire.
Those are all great resources that are very true to the Catholic teaching and are very in line. There's not personal preference or personal bias put into what the Catholic Church teaches as well.
Exactly.
Right?
It's clear, straight up teaching.
That's right.
That anyone. Yeah.
So those are places to look. And don't just go, okay, what does the Catholic Church teach about this on the website? Because the Google answers, I mean, are crazy.
Somehow. Yeah, who knows who's writing what on there? I
was just going to say another thing to add is that the place we ask from, that it's like there are sometimes it can look like the same thing. You have one person honestly asking questions about faith, and another person, or the same person at a different time, just casting doubt, throwing doubt, trying to kind of tear ideas down, or just playing devil's advocate, or just. That recognizing that blind skepticism, or just, you know, doubting everything, doesn't lead you to truth. It leads you to just kind of more skepticism, or more kind of a lack of faith, not just in articles of religion, but like anything. It's a slippery slope to nihilism. So asking honestly engaging people who are asking those questions with you. In a way that's accountable to the church is the way to kind of find your way.
And doing it together with prayer. I think that was a good suggestion. So a challenge for this week is, I think, is a simple one. If you have a question that you've been really wrestling with in your faith, send it to us. Hey?
Yeah.
Or look it up, but send it to us. You can, I mean.
We can wrestle it.
We can wrestle with it. Yeah. We have lots of fun dissecting sort of questions.
But search down that line. I think that's a perfect one. Search down the line of questioning.
And one thing I think we didn't mention here, even though we're way past our time, is that no question is a stupid one.
Yeah.
Like, no question is a stupid
Never.
One. Like, if you think your question is stupid, you haven't heard me talk. Right? Because I just have so many stupid questions. And, yeah, so send us your question. If there's something you've really been wrestling with, just send it to us, and we'll do our best to answer it. Plus, I think we have a speed round episode coming up.
So we're going to answer it. That's perfect.
So that's great. So send your questions to thecatholicbuzzpodcast@gmail.com, and hopefully we try and help you through your faith journey. That's what the purpose of this is. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Josh, for joining us on another episode of The Catholic Buzz. It's been fun, as always, and we will see you next time right here on The Catholic Buzz.